From KUER News in Salt Lake City, I'm Diane Maggiapinto. Governor Gary Herbert delivered his final State of the State address last night, calling Utah, quote, just the best. KUER's Nicole Nixon has more.
After more than a decade at Utah's helm, Herbert used his final State of the State speech to highlight successes, record unemployment, a growing middle class, and improved test scores for Utah students.
To say that the state of our state is excellent would be a gross understatement. Utah is thriving, and we're in the best position economically that we have ever been in our state's history.
Herbert's speech struck a hopeful tone, despite the fact that he was forced to roll back a tax reform plan he had recently signed into law. The governor said legislative leaders listened to the voice of the people when they decided to repeal the tax law. But he said the state still needs to change its tax policy to have stable funding in the future.
We need to continue this discussion with the people of Utah. We need to improve the dialogue.
Legislative Democrats released a response video where they highlighted their efforts on issues dealing with working families and the environment. They also pointed out that every Democrat voted against the unpopular tax reform plan. Nicole Nixon, KUER News.
Legislators are considering a bill to increase criminal charges involving domestic violence when a child is present. Democratic Senator Jani Iwamoto of Holiday introduced the bill that would amend current law by moving domestic violence trials from justice courts to district courts. Iwamoto told lawmakers on the Senate Criminal Justice Committee the legislation would also help protect at-risk children. She also said that domestic violence is the leading cause of homicide in the state. Today marks 2 years since Vicky Chavez, a Honduran mother, took sanctuary in a Salt Lake City church to avoid deportation. KUER's Rocio Hernandez reports.
The First Unitarian Church in Salt Lake City has become a home for Vicky and her two daughters. Her youngest was an infant when they took sanctuary in January 2018 as Chavez was facing deportation. The mother says she experienced domestic violence in her native Honduras and that their lives would be in danger if they return. Chavez spoke with KUER's Radio West earlier this month on what life's been like for them since.
But it's really hard. It's really hard. 2 years here is like a jail with more privileges, right? But it's not easy.
Chavez says she tries to stay optimistic for her daughters, and she prays every night for strength as she continues to fight to stay in the country.
If God put me in this situation, it's because he has a big plan for me and my family.
Chavez imagines a day when they can leave the sanctuary. She says the church bells will ring, and she will finally be able to live a normal life with her children. Rocio Hernandez, KUER News.
The rape trial of film mogul Harvey Weinstein has the media world again reflecting on the culture of abuse. That's especially true at the Sundance Film Festival, where some of his alleged crimes occurred. KUER's John Reed looks at the festival in the Me Too era.
Documentary producer Geralyn Dreyfus says bad things happened at Sundance, but that was due to the festival's success rather than anything programmers did. She says Sundance is one of only five buyer's markets in the film industry.
Industry comes in, talent comes in, investors come in. That environment is an environment for abuse of power.
Dreyfus says that since Me Too, there have been changes in Park City, like fewer closed-door hotel meetings. But she says the festival has long been an ally of the movement, in part by championing the work of filmmakers like Amy Ziering, who's produced several documentaries that tackle sexual misconduct. Her first, The Invisible War, about abuse in the military, premiered at Sundance in 2012, when no one was interested in the topic. Ziering says that helped spark a conversation.
When you see these voices on screen and when you hear them, it empowers you in a strange way. And I think that that is why it is important to have these platforms championing these stories.
Ziering's latest is On the Record. It's one of two films at Sundance this year that explores abuse culture and its long-lasting effects. And with the festival as a launchpad, there's a good chance the conversations will continue. John Reed, KUER News.
Utah's medical marijuana program is expected to launch on schedule in a few weeks, though it's likely to start small. Health officials say one or two dispensaries will open in early March. That's when people can begin getting patient cards that will allow them to legally buy the drug in the state. But they'll need a doctor's recommendation, which could be a challenge because just a few medical providers have shown interest in getting certified to recommend the drug. Health officials say they're working to reassure doctors the drug is safe ahead of the rollout. New legislation proposed Wednesday would make inmates with drug addiction eligible for Medicaid 30 days before their release. House Bill 38 was introduced by Representative Brad Daw and requires the State Department of Health to apply for a fee waiver from the federal government. He says the goal is to create a bridge for inmates who need treatment before they're released, and there will be no cost to the state to apply for the waiver.
We want to have this warm handoff between corrections and rehab, where the inmate can continue to get the help they need to try to integrate back into society.
The bill also allows for remote screenings, which are used by healthcare providers to identify what treatment is best for each person and provide a tax incentive to medical professionals to work in jail settings. I'm Diane Maggipinto, KUER News.